Today I'm joined with Coda Higgins from Growth Group, and we're discussing Fix This Next in your business to scale successfully. Fix This Next is a business methodology which conquers the issue we experience when we're running a business and trying to scale, but we're overwhelmed by all the issues. How do we know what to fix first, and how do we actually fix these issues at all?
Thanks, Julia. Great to be back here with you again. I came across Fix This Next. The concept is by Mike Malkovich. And I'd heard of Mike Malkovich through the agency community. He has written a book called Profit First. And a lot of agencies had used that Profit First. And when I read it at the beginning of the lockdown, I had lots of time, so I got stuck into some books. He then launched a new advisory service, which was Fix This Next. And I joined that advisory team. There's only 180 in the world. And I was just compelled to find some new ways while things were changing in the world. I wanted to go out and find new tools that I could help my agencies with. So historically, I have found when I'm working with agencies, the first thing that we need to fix in their business is generally human resources, HR, people management, doing one-to-one meetings, having review meetings, having training plans, having promotion paths. A lot of the businesses I work with, they're owned by entrepreneurs who are extremely creative, passionate, driven people, and they don't need a career path. They can figure out what the future looks like for themselves. But the employees in their business would like to know, you know, where are they going in the next 6 months, in the next year? How can they get a promotion? And so historically, that has been an area I would go into a business and I would fix mainly human resources the first thing. But we would end up trying to fix a lot of things and sometimes at the same time. And what I've learned now is that instead of working on multiple projects, we now create a very small group of things like a foundation. We got to fix the right things in the house. So I use the analogy, we just talked about this before, where running a business is a lot like owning a house. And I think we all know in the last few months, the more time you spend at home, the more things you want to fix or upgrade or improve or wallpaper or move around or change the garden. And running a business is a lot like that. There is always going to be something that you want to fix or improve or add on to or amend. But sometimes you can get overwhelmed because you don't know what are the right ones. So by working with this methodology, Mike talks about a business hierarchy of needs, which is very similar to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and where you would have what are the things that you want to fix next, which would be either sales, you're going to look at order, you're going to look at profit, you're going to look at impact, and then you're going to look at legacy. And it gives you five areas. There's 25 areas that you can address in your business, but instead of tackling all 25 and getting overwhelmed and stopping and running out of energy, we focus on one at a time in the right five group category area.
As a business owner, what is the first step I need to take to begin with this methodology?
If you want to get the book or listen to the audio, Mike is a very good orator. He's very funny. So Fix This Next is the first place to start. I've got a free book excerpt if somebody wants to have a look at that. And there's a free evaluation with all the questions that you can ask yourself. So it's either get the book or get the free chapter downloads. And we'll put the link in here for the landing page. And that's the first place to start. Just with ask 25 questions, and at the end of it, you're going to know which of the pillars that you need to work on.
So I just want to understand, since you've done all this reading and this research, what do you think is so appealing about this business framework?
What's really good is I've been running it through with some agencies now, and it's quite interesting, especially with partnerships, that when each of the partners, so say there's two partners in an agency, the answers sometimes come out differently. So one of the partners wants to focus on legacy, their future, what they're going to leave. And then the other person wants to focus on sales. So we have already a bit of a misalignment, but it could be the fact that each partner has a different focus area. So I think so far what it's uncovered is sometimes partners in a business, whether they're married or whether it's a partnership, sometimes they're looking at the business from different perspectives and their priorities on what to fix are not exactly aligned, which then means, you know, I use a lot of boating terminology, people are rowing in the wrong direction and we know where that ends up, you know, it's not great. So what this has highlighted is to go, oh, hang on a second, we can fix the legacy when we fix the sales things first. And even it might be just dropping down into the sales pillar to fix a couple of things so that we can move up to the legacy part of the business hierarchy of needs. So that's been really fascinating. It's also just given a sense of security where that person can go, okay, I know I have a lot to fix, but I know that if I focus on these two things this month and next month, you will, over the course of a 6 to a year period, actually fix the important things so that you can move forward. Especially at the moment as well, Julia, in a state of the world that's going on, a lot of people want to know what's within their control. And there's actually a lot of things that are within our control. There's a lot that's going on in the world that's out of our control. But when it comes to your business, with the external factors that are going on, there's actually an awful lot that you can do. And by taking control of the things that you are able to in your business, that actually gives you the confidence and prepares you for whatever is coming next in the outside world.
I also just think from an employee point of view, I've been at an agency where, you know, 1 week we're focusing on time logging, and then the next week we're focusing on sales, and there's, you know, pressure to kind of report back to management and make sure that all your time logs are done on 1 week. And then the next week there seems to be kind of a new issue that's being solved, but there's a bit of that stop start and there isn't really a continuity. So I feel like if an agency owner had to kind of say, okay guys, listen, we're gonna sort out a few issues in the business and we're gonna start here, we're gonna start, you know, with maybe profit, and we're gonna end with sales, and we're gonna look at them each week and see what we can do to fix these issues and to make sure that we're all aligned. It would just also just create a sense of unity and just clarity within the team.
Yeah, it's so true. And this is another revelation in part of this as well. A lot of agencies and businesses feel that more sales is the solution to their problems. However, it's actually about more quality sales, more sales with a better profit in them. And so that ping-ponging around going, oh, let's get a load of sales in, which could be expensive to deliver, which will eat into your profit, which is going to give you service issues, which could give you HR issues, and you end up going around and around in a circle. So it's about figuring out the right quality type of sales that are profitable. Work that you're really, really good at, that you enjoy doing, that's profitable, gets results for the clients. It's about getting more of that, not necessarily bringing in a bad fit client because you've been panicking over sales. It turns out that client is going to eat into your service time. It's not profitable. It gives you a lot of headaches. You're the owner of the business. You're getting involved in that sale and it becomes a spiral down. So sales and profit need to be considered at the same time.
I agree with that. In my own experience of, you know, trying to push sales and upsell on existing retainers or clients, it was just a drive to sell something. It was just to get as much money into the business as possible. And don't worry, when we make the sale, we're going to figure out when we do it. And what happened was just a lot of custom stuff. We're always doing things for the first time. And also in the team, you know someone's working on this huge project over there and something over there, but what is our service offering? And to have maybe five or six things completely waxed where you know the process, you know who's involved from start to finish, you know what the value is, and you can kind of duplicate that and charge the same across clients.
That's right. And just by taking an afternoon to reflect with the whole team, with everyone on the team, and to sit down and go, who were our top 10 favorite clients over the last year? Who did we love working with? Why did we love working with them? What results did we get from them? You know, and write down that DNA, and they could be in different niches, and that's okay. It's something about their personality. They were flexible. They respected your timelines. They understood the sales process. They knew that marketing wasn't sales. Marketing is marketing, you know, specifically when you talk about agencies. And if you sit down as a team and you go, God, you know, when we did that website, oh, it was great. And what was it like working with that person? Oh, they paid on time. They responded on time. They got a great website. They got great results. We did a great campaign with them. And when you analyze that, and that's the package, and you know you're really good at it, you know it's profitable, well, that becomes your package. And then going to that person, if they're a great customer, they're going to have great friends who could be great customers. So go and ask them. I think the days of the niche, bit of a struggle right now. You know, I've seen a lot of agencies fall over because they were too deep in a niche, too deep in a geography. Because it was that country and that niche and the combo. So pick the niche, but be global, or, you know, have a few other options on what the niche should be. I've always kind of said that. I was always a bit nervous about being too deep in a niche, unless you had a global presence. And make it fun, you know, and talk, bring that person and go, like, we love you. We want to do more work with you. We'd love to work with people just like you. Do you have any recommendations? And it doesn't matter that they're not in the same industry. Birds of a feather, you know, they flock together. So that right, nice person that you loved working with could have colleagues. Well, they will. They'll have colleagues, and they would just, if you did great work with them, they'll love to refer you.
Well, I love the sound of it. It sounds like a positive retro, which is not something that we actually do.
Yeah.
We seem to have retros and say, okay, how would we do it better next time? But
when
we don't go
wrong. Yeah.
yeah. The other way around. And I think that is a great experience. And also just for everybody to understand the role that each person plays in the business. Because they are quite separated a lot of the time. Yeah.
And by bringing the team together, you'll also find out if perhaps the whole team, perhaps the CMO that the agency was, where the owner was talking to the CMO and they were having a great relationship, but down the track, maybe there was a marketing coordinator in the company who was disrespectful, who didn't understand the process. There could be all these bugs. When you all sit together and retrospectively have an afternoon on what was our favorite clients, why? What work do we love to do? Why? What work should we be doing in the future? Why? And everyone has their perspective. Then you start to create really great packages that people need. And it's about just getting more referrals for the type of people that you want to work with.
Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Clodagh. I think this business framework is incredibly valuable in making everything a lot more clear.
Yes.
And yeah, just providing some steps to improving your business and creating that forward momentum.
I think that's what we've kind of learned in the lockdown. And that's, it's sort of, once I came into this, I was really lucky. I had a great base of clients. I picked up a few more and I just sort of went, okay, well, what are people going to need as we transition into a new way of looking at things, the new world that we're going into? And it is about simplicity. It's about taking away the overwhelm, going, acknowledging, yeah, you're always going to have things to fix, but I'm going to give you a plan on which are the most important things to fix and why, and steps on how to actually fix them. And take away that constant feeling of, I know I have a problem, but I don't know which problem it is.
I agree. It's all about, think of what can you control?
Yeah.
And it's baby steps.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm very excited to chat to you next and see what your experience has been in implementing this framework with businesses and agencies.
Yeah, well, it's got some really good stories coming along so far, so it's good. Like I said, in today's world, there's a lot of uncertainty, but there's a lot of things that people can move forward with, and I'm happy to help more.